Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. We're about a month away from Cats football. Can you believe that?
Cannot
it
wait.
It is almost here.
Yeah.
Cannot wait for it either. Let's bring in our man, the commissioner of AF1 and longtime coach, Jeff Fisher, is on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Are you, I mean, you getting that itch? I mean, I'm sure it happened every year when you were coaching, but we're about a month away.
It's a different itch, but it's still, there's still, you know, you still want to scratch here and there. But, yeah, I'm really excited about it. You know, we've had a great offseason of change. And in addition to that, the league, you know, has had a great offseason. So we're especially looking forward to this year. I keep saying, oh, well, this is year zero, but this is going to be different, especially, you know, considering the fact from a Cat standpoint that, you know, we're going to be just inside of an hour up north. And, you know, things are going well up there, as we periodically talked about. But, yeah, tomorrow, St. Paddy's Day, we're going to have a little get together. And then Wednesday, our single game tickets go on sale. And, yeah, we're putting them on sale intensely because we're exactly a month away from our home opener.
So yeah, what is going to take place tomorrow? I know you got a special event going on.
We do. We got all the season ticket holders, you know, that joined our organization, you know, 6 to 8 weeks ago, are all invited back for, you know, just kind of a little get together. You know, we're going to have Coach Arbet up there with a question and answer, and, you know, a lot of other people in the organization. So, and then of course we're extending the opportunity for them to go ahead and get a head start on the, you know, the single game tickets. And now that the schedule has been, you know, solidified and everything. So we'll be talking about that, and, you know, just a lot of good stuff going on with the league.
And do I understand a uniform unveiling? Is that what
I'm told? Will be a, yes, that's correct. There will be uniform unveiling, slightly different logo changes, as there always are, but yeah, we got a we don't have players you know, walking up and down a walkway, but we're gonna present them to you know, to the season ticket holders, and then of course the merchandise will go on sale, you know, shortly after that.
Oh, I love it, Coach. Let me ask you this, Coach. Why is this working so well? Why is there all this excitement and this buzz that's around what you guys are doing with the city of Clarksville and this football team? Because there is a lot of good buzz right now about what you guys are doing.
Well, I think just because we've been able to, you know, we had a good start up in Clarksville, and we've got great partners up there, great partners with F&M Bank Arena. And, you know, their participation with respect to sponsorships, everything going on with the base, and then, you know, the community. I mean, we got great support from a mayoral standpoint in Montgomery County. And, you know, we just got people that want to be a part of it. They want to, you know, last year you guys were there. You guys were a big part of what happened, the success train that took off regarding the last home game, and then not knowing, you know, prior to kickoff of the last home game, that we would be coming back the very next week for the first round of the playoffs.
It was amazing. Yeah.
I want to thank you guys. I mean, you guys were extraordinary for us, and we're a big part of that. And, you know, for the local listeners here, I mean, you guys are reaching Clarksville well beyond. So, you know, you guys were a big part of it.
What's it like now that you're fully settled as the commissioner of AF1? What's the biggest thing you had to learn about being a commissioner of a professional sports league?
Well, you know, it was the first thing, you know, it kind of just fell in my lap. You know, I got in there, I was trying to help 2 years ago, and things were totally misguided and misrepresented, and it wasn't fair. You know, it wasn't fair to, you know, those teams that have been in the league, and the small market teams, you know, the Salinas and the Southwest Kansas, and, you know, all those markets. And so I just felt bad for the fan bases, and so I just wanted to help. And so, you know, you get to know ownership. We've got new teams this year. You know, we've got a Northern Kentucky, and we got a Michigan, and we got a you know, Minnesota team, and, you know, a team in Beaumont. And so you get to start over with these ownership groups, and it's just been really fun. And, you know, on top of that, you know, I'm a year ahead right now, you know, because we're going to expand and next year we'll have more teams. And, you know, there's just a lot of opportunities out there from a sponsorship, a league sponsorship standpoint. And then we got some big time announcements here coming over the next few days. And I think that'll also answer your question.
Coach Jeff Fisher is with us. And again, a big event tomorrow in Clarksville at Strawberry Alley Ale House there in Clarksville. So looking forward to that. I know you were at the Titans event last week where they did the rebrand and the unveiling. What'd you think of the new threads for the Titans?
Well, I think it's a great taste. I mean, I love, the historical flair, and because that's where it started. And so there was a lot of enthusiasm. More importantly than just the uniforms and all that kind of stuff. They're going to take off. You got new merch. You got all that kind of stuff. But, man, I got to see some of the old guys, Javon Pierce and, Michael Griffin. And then, of course, D. Mace and Blaine and the guys were there. So it was really fun reaching out. And Amy's very, very excited about what's going on here in town.
You know, it's interesting when I saw, and the indication was they were going to go back to the lighter blue and kind of an Oilers type feel that, and I know there were some people around here that maybe didn't love that because it wasn't Titans, but I thought they did a really nice job of bringing both together. You represented both. You coached the Oilers, you coached the Titans. So for you, does this feel like the perfect marriage of both the past and the future?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it was interesting, when I arrived at the event, the number of people that were in Oiler merch, jerseys and jackets and hats and things. And so, the organization has done a good job of, that one throwback game, every year type of thing and combining it. And so, yeah, I've got a lot of Oiler stuff, as you can imagine, and a lot of Titan stuff. And so, yeah, it was good to see a good blend of it, and they now officially are off and running with it.
Well, it's funny.
So, go ahead.
Sorry, Coach. It's funny. I'll have to show it to you next time I see you, but I was going through stuff this weekend, and you may remember at the last game at Vanderbilt, you guys played the Minnesota Vikings in 1998, and it was the last game ever as the Oilers. And I was there.
They were 15-1 or 15-0, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, they were 1. Yeah.
Remember, that was a freaking ice storm.
Yeah. Oh, it was cold. Yeah. It was like the day after Christmas or something like that. But it was cold. And I went with my mom, and they handed out these golf towels that had the Titans logo on it. That was kind of the final game as the Oilers and then the transition. So I still have that. And I found it over the weekend and kind of had some nostalgia since that logo has now since been retired. But obviously a lot of special times with it.
Yeah, there was. I mean, hang on to it. I'm sure there's value. There's always value to everything from a collectible standpoint. But, yeah, it's nice to see them moving forward. And, I listened to your previous segment leading up, and I'm glad that there was a space between the Cats, the Titans, and vasectomies. I'm glad that we got that separation there. I appreciate that. And then I heard you make reference to the off-season and off-season moves and things like that. And I just wanted, before we run out of time, I one of the, if not the top five, you guys decide what it is, but I think one of the best off-season moves in the NFL outside of free agency is the coaching hires and especially the coordinators. And I'm not discounting the coach. I mean, Robert's he's going to do a great job. But when you have a Brian Daboll and a Gus Bradley and a John Fossil, oh, my gosh. That counts as a handful of wins because that's experience, that's teaching. I mean, it's different, and that's the one thing. I mean, aside from that top free agent that whoever's out there that they're going to go get, that to me was a. I mean, this offseason program might as well be over. Get ready for the draft, as far as I'm concerned, because that's one great move by the organization.
Oh, I agree. I can't wait for Robert Saleh to chew some ass at camp, unlike the last few years when it was a daycare center over there. Let me ask you something, Coach. Why did you gravitate towards Buddy Ryan? What was it about Buddy Ryan being the defensive coach that you gravitated towards him and, like, he kind of became your mentor?
Well, I'll tell you exactly. There were three defensive coaches on the staff. Buddy Ryan was on the sideline, and the secondary coach and the D-line coach were in the box. Imagine that. And so I'm a substitutional player. I played a lot of different positions. I went in as a corner. I was drafted a corner, by the way. So, but I very quickly moved to safety. But I was playing all the positions and standing on the sideline and helping them with substitutions, really, since my rookie year, and making corrections on the sideline. And so I was there, you know, step by step with them. And boy, I mean, he'd fling those headsets off. And at that time, they weren't wireless. And, man, it's dragging, and I'm carrying the headset, chasing him down the sideline while he's ripping people's ass. But, you know, that, I got to know Buddy really well. And, you know, everybody did. I mean, Buddy was, you know, he was just so roughly honest. And you knew exactly what he was going to say when. You could anticipate it, but I learned so much from him. And, you know, in life, you also learn how not to do things from people. Uh-huh. And I did that as well. But, you know, I just, you know, I mean, I watched the twins grow up, you know, and Rex and Rob, and the great success that they each had, not only starting in college, but also, you know, in the NFL, as, you know, one as a head coach and one as a big-time defensive coordinator. So, you know, it's just I wasn't part of the family, but at times it felt like I was, because I spent so much time with him. And, you know, the defense, you know, he was cutting edge. I mean, he, you know, his system, you know, fell into place because of the personnel. And, you know, I mean, you still see signs of it here and there. And on occasion I'll get questions about the origination of it and all that. So, yeah, it was, you know, you guys, I'd love to talk a lot more about my, you know, the stories on the sideline. I mean, you know, from Richard Dent his rookie year to, and I mean, I had to come between Mike Dick and Buddy Ryan because they were going to fight over Richard Dent. Mike Dick wanted him on the field, and Buddy didn't, because he said he was too cold. He wasn't playing hard because he was cold. But anyway, it was all, and he didn't put it that way particularly. But,
right, yeah. Oh, man. We could do a whole – yeah, let's plan on that. I want to go back to something you said a moment ago, which I think a lot of coaches, Coach, have lost. You said Buddy was roughly honest. I think those are two beautiful words put together which describe a successful football coach, that I think football's lost a lot of that today, in my opinion. Roughly honest.
Well, again, it just popped up. I mean, I remember sitting down in the – when I retired – from Chicago, joined him as a coach to put his defense in Philadelphia. We had a staff dinner at Bookbinders in Philadelphia with the then owner, Norman Brayman. And it wasn't 30 minutes into the dinner, and Buddy is ripping the owner's ass.
Yes.
So, roughly honest, there you have it. You know?
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome. Coach, thanks so much for the time, as always. Excited about tomorrow up there in Clarksville, and I look forward to seeing the new unis and talking to you here soon.
Okay, appreciate you guys, as always. Thank you.
Absolutely. Jeff Fisher joining us on the phone from the Cats and AF1, and, of course, longtime coach of the Tennessee Titans. The 46 defense, I mean –
you'll never see that again.
Yeah, it couldn't work today.
I mean, you're dropping one safety, and it was Gary Fincik, not the fastest safety ever in football, and you relied on the four and the six. I mean, I'm telling you, man. I mean, Weber Marshall and Otis Wilson and Mike Singletary, the linebackers, Leslie Frazier, and on and on. I mean, these guys were just. That's why you always default to the 85 Bears team. The fact that it's probably the greatest defense of all time. Now, they did not go unbeaten. They lost to Miami in the Orange Bowl in a Monday Night Football game, which I'm not sure anybody would beat Miami on that night. But it was people have tried to recreate it. I mean, there's been all different kind of the wide tackle six, the 3-4, the 4-3, the 46, all these different iterations of that defense, but nothing will ever come close to how dominating that 4-6 defense was.
Pretty awesome. I appreciate Coach for joining us. We'll come back with more here in hour number one of Chasing Big Joe on 2.5 The Game.